now. New beginning. So today we're going to learn about the annulment of vows. And specifically, the annulment of vows that takes place every 7 years, as the Torah says in Chumash Devarim, Deuteronomy 15, Kapitel Tezvav. Take it from the top. Miketz Sheva Shonim. At the end of 7 years, Ta'ase Shmita. You'll make some form of annulment. You'll let go. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Miketz Sheva Shonim means, Yochel, you might think this is every loan automatically gets canceled or revoked after 7 years. Sheva Shonim L'chol Milva U'Milva. Regardless of when you take the loan, at the end of 7 years, if you didn't pay the loan back, annulled. Talmud Loimar, then a verse, several verses ahead is going to teach us. In verse 9 it says, Korvo Shnas Asheva. A person would be uncomfortable giving a loan because he says, you know, the seventh year is coming close. And because the seventh year is coming close, I have good reasons to be concerned. Maybe I won't get paid back. Now, if you are to say that every loan expires automatically at the end of 7 years, so in that case, if it's an individual, 7 years counted for each loan specifically, how can it come closer? But if it's a seven-year cycle, and you're giving the loan a half a year before the end of the seventh-year cycle, then you could say, Korvish Nasa Sheva. From this we learn, Sheva Shonim L'minyan HaShmites, that the 7 years that we speak of, in which nulls are avowed, follows the order of the agricultural cycle in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I have to tell you that the word Miketz, at least according to Unkelus, who builds on the Gemara in Erchen, the Gemara in Erchen is on page 28, the idea of Miketz means at the end. At the end. And the problem is that there's a machlokes, there's a dispute, whether or not Shemitah is mishamatas, whether or not the Shemitah lets go of vows at the beginning of the 7 years or at the end of the 7 years. There's actually a dispute about this. So if you say that Shemitah works at the end, that's great. There's no problem then. And that's actually what the approach of Ramban. Ramban says,
why is there no problem?
Because Miketz means at the end, and the null is, the vow is annulled. The vow, pardon me, the loan is annulled at the end of 7 years.
Oh, the end is 7 years. So not following the Shemitah.
Yeah.
Cycle.
So Ramban says Miketz is at the end, and it's as if saying at the end when the 7 year cycles, it is following the cycle. When the seventh year ends, that's when the loan is avowed. When the seventh year ends, it has to end. Right? So that to me makes sense, Miketz. It refers to the seventh year itself. Now, the Ramban also points out that these verses are a little bit pithy. And he says that's because the Torah already spent a lot of time and a lot of ink on this in Parshas Bahar. So this is a quick review rather than an exhaustive review. But he says the idea of the end of the seventh year indeed means the concept of at the end of 7 years. However, Ibn Ezra does not necessarily agree with the Ramban. And he says that the word Miketz could mean the beginning. It could mean at the end. Miketz is like a border. It's like coming to the edge. An edge is not an end. You have an edge in the beginning. You have an edge at the end. So Miketz means at the edge. It certainly doesn't work in the middle of the 7 years. It's either when you arrive at the 7 years or when you end at the 7 years. And from the pasuk, you cannot have a conclusive proof of which way it goes because Miketz can be construed or understood either way. At any rate, there are in fact two different opinions. And when we have our seventh year, when the loans are annulled automatically, in today's day and age, it's only a rabbinic idea, it's not biblical. But nonetheless, we pass our loans onto the Beth Din. So we make a statement, we verbalize something at the on Erev Rosh Hashanah saying that all of the loans that we have that may be outstanding, we hereby pass on to the court system. And the court system then has the loan, takes possession of the loans, and therefore it won't be revoked. It won't be annulled. So we do this both in the beginning of the seventh year, Erev Rosh Hashanah of the beginning of Shemitah, as well as an Erev Rosh Hashanah at the end of Shemitah, following both opinions, whether it's the beginning or the end, because we actually don't have clarity whether it's the beginning or the end.
So after the seventh year is over, it goes back and reverts back to the lender?
No.
No, okay.
Yes, the loanee, the person who took the loan, is no longer obligated to pay. That is correct.
Okay, so then it's annulled. What do you mean? Then
it's annulled.
So the court didn't take possession of anything?
Oh, well, one second. The only time that the loans are annulled if they're private loans. However, if they're owed to the public, then it's not annulled. So there's a big difference between the private or the public.
Okay.
So therefore, Hillel figured out that we could create something called a prusbul. And a prusbul means that we're able to pass our loans on to the court. We give our loans over to the court system, and if in that case, the loans would not be annulled or revoked. And the only reason we do that is because it's rabbinic. If it would be biblical, there'll be no leeway whatsoever. There's no leeway. When you have something which is biblically prohibited, it's nothing to talk about. Prohibited is prohibited. The only reason we have a certain amount of leeway with the loans is because we have this notion that in today's day and age, it's only by rabbinic origin. It's not of biblical origin anymore.
Okay, so the public purse does get enriched by
the public purse is not annulled. The private purse is annulled. Get that? Public not, private yes.
What is a public loan?
What is a public purse? A public purse means that you owe something to an institution, like a court. So if somebody owed me a loan, but I passed my indebtedness onto the courts, now that person doesn't owe me the money. Now the person owes the money to the courts. Okay?
This is a gemach too, like a community fund.
If it's a gemach, if it's a community fund, then it is certainly not revoked.
Wait, okay, so you're... Okay.
Okay? V'zeh dvar ha-shmita. Let's go for the next verse. This is the thing of the shmita. Shomait kol bal ma'asheh yodei asheh yasheh b'rei ehu. Anybody who has an indebtedness, a lien against his fellow, should let go of that. Drop it. Lo yigesh esriyehu. He shall not come after and demand from this companion. Esves echov and his brother. Ki kara shmita la Hashem. Because a shmita has been called for Hashem. And a shmita means an annulment, a cancellation, a letting go of. Now, why does it say ze dvar hashmita? It should say vze shmita. What's the dvar? The dvar usually means a thing. So the Targum Yonasan Ben Azil says, yes, dvar means an inyan. It's a thing. This is the thing of the Shemitah. Correct. However, the Chizkuni says something very interesting. He says that the Shemitah is mishamatas, not only the loan, but even a verbal obligation that comes along with a loan. What's that? What's a verbal obligation that comes along with a loan? So if I am in a situation where I owe somebody money, and I say, no, I don't owe money. He says, yes, you do. I have a witness you owe money. So in that case, I would have an obligation then to come before the court and to take an oath that I don't owe the money. Now, if my creditor had two witnesses, I would have no choice. I could make denials from today till tomorrow. If the two witnesses who say, yeah, he owes money, then by dint of those witnesses, the creditor of mine is going to be able to take the money. However, since he only has one witness, he cannot obligate me to pay money, but what he can obligate me to do is show up in court. So if somebody sees you and says, hey, you owe me money. So I don't owe you anything. I don't know who you are. Yes, you do. I'll see you in court tomorrow. I'm subpoenaing you. You're going to come to court. You can't just subpoena somebody like that in total court. You can't just drag anybody into court and demand a response. I don't owe you a response. I get emails like that every day. I have $40 million from you in Nigeria. You owe me $40 million. I just delete that. I didn't look twice. I don't owe you anything. People leave these crazy messages for me. I don't respond to every phone message I get. I'm not obligated. Well, I'd have to respond. Who said I have to respond? Incidentally, even the media calls, who says you have to respond? Something I learned a long time ago. I'll respond if I want to respond. I have to make my own decision whether it's better to say Rabbi Kaplan is unavailable for comment or be quoted out of context. Like that, I have to make my decision. But I'm not obligated. Why am I obligated? It's because you decide I'm obligated? So you decided. Just like I'm not obligated to pick up the phone every time the phone calls. I'm not obligated. But then there are obligations that we have. There are certain times, at very least, I'm obligated to respond. I mean, you're in a situation with somebody. At least I'm not obligated to do what people are saying, but I'm obligated to respond. And it's a big difference. Both are an obligation. One is an obligation, an actual obligation of following through by the demands. One is an obligation to respond to the demands. And sometimes you are obligated. So in halacha, two witnesses can create an actual indebtedness. Two edim, I have a responsibility, I have to pay. One witness can create a situation in which I have to respond, which in legal technical terms means I have to take an oath. The Chizkuni says, when Shemitah comes along, if that loan was not paid, that oath is also canceled. And he says, that's why the Torah used the words v'zed devar ha-shemitah. Because the Shemitah, a dover, is a word. He said, this Shemitah is also cancels words. It also cancels verbal obligations, not only fiduciary or financial obligations or responsibilities. And that's why it says dvar. That's the idea of dvar ha-shemitah. At any rate, shomayt kol ba'al ma'aseh yodei, Rashi says, shomayt es yodei shekol ba'al ma'aseh. Every creditor must open his hand. You are, somebody's a creditor of yours, they have a hand on you. They're holding you fast. You owe them something. He said, at the end of the seventh year comes, let go.
Rabbi, would this equally apply to somebody who makes his livelihood by lending money? As opposed to like just some private loan that, well, you know, okay, you come
here's,
to
me. Here's the little problem with your question you just asked. Yeah. Makes his livelihood by lending money? Okay. You mean charges interest?
Yeah.
That is in and of itself prohibited by the Torah in a very serious way.
Okay, but in modern day and age, I mean, you know, we have banks. You know, like
banks are a public institution.
You have shareholders in a public institution.
It's a public institution.
They're regulated by the public, but it's not, you know.
It is somewhat public. It's not a personal private person. You owe an answer to the public, and it's public shares. Let me say this. The concept of lending money and being able to have a return is not couched as a loan, but rather as a business investment. A business investment is not a loan. A business investment is something called a heter isker. And incidentally, when you have a business investment, you have to have the possibility of losing too. You don't always gain. That's business. Sometimes you make money, sometimes you lose money. That's a big difference. A loan, I don't lose money. I give, I get back. So if I give and get back what I gave, that's a loan. But if I give and get back more than I gave, that's what you call a bonded, guaranteed return. So there's no such thing. How do you have bonded guarantees return in today's business world? Very simple. The company that's making the investments does do things which are risky. They do lose money sometimes, but they sometimes make 10 points on your money. Sometimes they make 15 points on your money. Maybe sometimes they make even 20 points in money. They're giving you 5 points. And they figure out actuarially that if they give you 5 points consistently, sometimes they make, sometimes they lose, they'll make more than they lose. And they're large enough to guarantee it, unless there's like a crash, like in 1930 or something, 1929. But otherwise, if there's no crash, they're guaranteed that there'll always be enough money, and they're making and losing enough. They make and lose, make and lose, make and lose, but it goes a range. It's a range, high ranges. So because they're dealing with much bigger numbers, and because they take bigger risks, and anyway, they try to minimize their risks, so they're comfortable saying, okay, we can give you, let's say, 5%, 6%. And if you have somebody who's giving you crazy returns, then his name is usually Madoff. And if it's, as they say, too good to be true, then it is too good to be true. That's the rule.
Okay, so let me ask one other question. If you're canceling your loan, is that considered staka, in effect? So it would count towards giving maestro?
That's an excellent question. If you canceled your loan, would it be considered a tzedakah? So this is not you canceling your loan. This is Hashem canceling all loans.
But I know it's coming up. So I'll cancel it. I know it's going to be canceled anyway.
If you canceled the loan for a poor person, you would certainly get credit like tzedakah. Yes. In fact, they tell a story that at some point before World War II, Reb Mendel Futtefass was making a lot of money. He was a very capable fellow. I don't know, it was a black market, but you know, I don't know exactly what he was doing in communist Russia, but he was making money. And at this time, when he was making money, he was also loaning a lot of money. People were coming to him for loans all the time. And somebody said to him, Mendel, you know, you're not going to get this money back. Like, half these guys are just like taking loans, like, you know, on your nickel, they're taking loans. So the Mendel said, no, if I get it back, I got the mitzvah of giving a loan. And if I didn't, I got the mitzvah of tzedakah. So if that's your attitude, you're good. Like, but yes, if you would cancel a loan for a poor person, in all likelihood, it could be considered tzedakah. So Rashi says, you got to let go. Shomayt es yodei. However, this is only for your fellow Jew. Es hanochri, if it's a non-Jew. Tigash, him you do ask the money for. This whole cancellation, this whole annulment only works for your own family. V'asher yilecha es achicha. However, when it's your own brother, tashmet yadecha, then you got to let go. So it's your own brother, you got to let go. Non-Jew, you're allowed to continue to ask. So Ibn Ezra says, Esenachri Tigosh is Lashon Shus. It doesn't mean you actually have to demand the money. You could just choose to cancel the money if you want yourself. That's up to you. The Shemitah has no bearing on your own, on the loan arrangement you have between you and between a Gentile. Now the Sifri says Mitzvah Saseh. And Rashi follows that approach. However, there's a machlekes, what exactly Rashi means. According to Ramban, Rashi does not mean mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah to ask the money. It means that this idea of letting go of the money is both a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. That's what the Torah uses in that terminology. Others maintain Rashi says, no, that would be a mitzvah. And that dovetails into another machlekes, another dispute whether taking interest from a non-Jew is actually a mitzvah or only something that we're permitted to do. All right, there's much more about this, but this is a brief overview of the business of loans and their annulment that happens every 7 years. And now we are going to take a look through the prism and lens of mystical spiritual teaching. And we're going to ask, could we learn something from this financial discussion? This mitzvah that you have to annul loans, does it bear with it also in a lesson in Avodas Hashem? Kuf Tzadik Beis. Page 192, Simin Chav Ches. So here, the Rebbe quotes the Sifri. It says, Asha yilecha es achicha, but whatever is in your brother's hand, tashmit yadecha. You let go. So he quotes the Sifri, which is the Medrash Halacha that accompanies the book of Devarim, Bamidbar and Devarim. He says, es achicha tashmit yadecha. What belongs to your brother, the loans that you have, or that your brother has indebtedness to you, tashmit yadecha, you're going to let go. However, he says, but if you transfer all of your documents over to the Beth Din, which means you turn it from a private situation into a public situation, you hand it over to the public domain. If you hand it over to the public domain, things change. And as I mentioned to you earlier, Hillel established that in the time when we are only observing this rabbinically, and people stopped giving loans, and the speed of business began to get sluggish, and the economy was affected, and something had to be done, so he'll arrange this mechanism called Prusbul. And the Prusbul is a loophole. And the Prusbul says that if I gave my loans to the public purse, to the public domain, becomes institutionalized, then in that case it's not annulled, it doesn't get lost. And that's very important for me to point out to you, that biblically this would work. It's just the methodology in which we do it is not so real. It's like it's almost like hyperbole. Okay, yeah, I'm standing in front of like a minion of fellow Yidden on Erev Rosh Hashanah. I go, okay, all of my loans and I give over to the Bezdin. Really, what loans do you have? Could you give us the documents? Could the Bezdin actually go and ask? Which Bezdin? What's their phone number? Did they have an email address? No, the Bezdin of Rav Ami and Rav Ashi. The whole thing is like it almost looks like non-tangible, non-technical, non-real. So we say, you know what? It's a formality. It's a formality which is going through the motions, and it's a rabbinic loophole. Okay, fine. But if somebody would actually take his loans and transfer them over to the Bezdin, you know what? All my indebtedness, not my indebtedness anymore. I'm not interested. I don't want the money. I don't need the money. But all these people who took loans and think they're going to play games, they can deal with the courts now. They deal with the courts. Not me. It's not me anymore. I take the money. I hand it over to the court. Let the court deal with it. I don't want to hear any stories. Don't even come to me. Don't look at me. But remember, your loans are not annulled because they're no longer mine. They belong to the public purse. It belongs to, I institutionalize it. That's a rule. That's actually biblical. The way in we do it, would only work for a rabbinic situation. So the Rebbe says, okay, what can we learn from this? Everything we learn in Torah has to be assimilated into some kind of spiritual teaching as well. So here's how it goes. Here is the Mashma'usa shel shmitas haksofim beruchnias. Here's the intimation, the idea, the theme of forgiving and annulling loans on a spiritual level, in avedas adam l'koinai, in the service of a person to his creator. Ne'emar b'mishnah. There is a mishnah, famous mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the third chapter, and it says over there, hachanus pasucha. The store is open. Hachen v'nimakif, the storekeeper, he gives credit. Anybody can buy whatever you want. This is known today in English as a credit card. You can load up your credit cards.
It's in Pirkei Avos.
Yeah, load up your credit cards, it says. But it doesn't mean on a literal level. But pinkas pasuach, but you know, a record is being kept. The ledger is open. Vayad keseves, and the proverbial hand is inscribing, it's writing, everything's being written down. So everything's written down in the big black book. You can take whatever you want on credit. Just remember, you'll have to answer for this someday. It's given on credit, but all the credit is documented in the ledger. And if it's documented, you will have to pay back. It's just a matter of time. Whoever would like a loan, no problem. You don't have to provide any references. You don't have to put up any collateral. You don't have to demonstrate a credit record. You want to get, everybody gets. It's an open season. Anybody can get a loan. Just remember, there will be indebtedness. Every loan taken will have to be returned. So, Kesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Neisen LaAdam, when Hashem gives us, just for example, here's some of the things we might get on loan, meaning for free, unearned. Maybe banim, maybe we have children. We think we earned that? You think we deserve that? We have the right to our children? How about Chaim? How about life? We have the right to life? Who says? Parnasa? I have the right to make a living. I have the divine right to be wealthy and affluent. Who says? Who says you have the right to parnasa? Medubur l'maisa b'hava. At the end of the day, we're talking here about all loans. And the loans are coming from the great big credit agency. It's known as the Holy One, blessed be He. V'ha'adam nidrash l'freyes chayve. However, you got to pay up. How do you pay up your loans? Well, let's talk about if you have children. If you have children, olav l'chanech b'derech ha'teirev ha'mitzvah. If you have children, you have to educate those children as per the bank owner. You have to do what Hashem asks you to do. Hashem gave me children. I have to treat those children properly. First of all, they're not your children, they're God's children. And as God's children, I have responsibility towards Hashem, raising my children properly. It's yimei chayev. How about the days of life Hashem gave me that I got them for free? Now what are you supposed to do? Okay, so here's how you pay up that loan. L'mali b'teichan shel Torah mitzvahs. I fill that life with meaning. I do meaningful things. I learn Torah, I do mitzvahs. L'bal yaver yoyim echad levatala. I can't lose even one day. There aren't extra days in life. Every day is counted. Every day is exact. M'mamoinai, God gave me money. I have parnasa. All of losses meiser. I have to give 10%. Or even better, chaymesh, 20% to tzedakah. Yachadim zois. Along with this, golei v'yidu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Believe me, God knows. Shadrisha zu asu yalias l'mayla mikichesa shel adam. Sometimes, and you say, a person should use every single day, every single hour, every single moment. Like, really? Did God really expect that we're going to live such perfect lives? Did he never expect that sometimes we make a mistake in raising our children and we didn't do things exactly as Hashem wanted us to? That maybe sometimes the opportunities of tzedakah present themselves and we were sleeping at the switches? The one giving the loans knows he's not getting full payment. Hashem gives us all these loans. He knows very well not every loan is going to be paid back. Why does he give all the loans for them? Well, here's the good news. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Shnas HaShmita. He also gives us a year of annulment. Every 7 years, Hashem says, you know what? Fine, we'll wipe the slate clean. We'll empty the ledger. That's it. Start all over. Hard reset. Forget what happened. Ach, however, Yeshlizker, we have to remember, Sheshmitas HaChayves, it only works if it's personal, if it's private. What happens if those loans get passed on to the court system? What if they're institutionalized? Then they don't get annulled, right? If whoever's dealing with the loans Yimaser lebezdin shomayla, they get given over to, so to speak, the heavenly court. Well, in that case, him le yishametu, then they will not be annulled. So what do we need to do in order to get our loans, our indebtedness annulled? What do we need to do? Ala adam laftiach, we have to be certain, efei, shechevesev yisharu b'reshus hayachad. We got to keep it as a personal loan and make sure it doesn't get institutionalized. And the way that Rebbe explained this, the reshus hayachad is the reshus shalabedi is barach. Keep it in God's hands alone. Yechida shalaylam. God is called Yechida, the singular one of the world, the only one of the world. V'oz, as long as you keep your loans personal, God goes beyond the call of duty, beyond the letter of the law, and the loans are forgiven. All right, how do you do that? Hmm. How can we be certain that our loans should remain in the private domain, which means in the Shusha Yachid? And they shouldn't be passed on to Bezdin Shomayla. Hatshuva lekach, the answer? The answer is like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnaigim ha'adam mida keneged mida. We know that Hashem responds to us in like fashion. That's the rule. Always mida keneged mida. It's always in like fashion. The way you are, that's the way you responded to. So, im ha'adam atzmai noig b'chol ma'isa b'derach shalaf nimishur sadin. If you go beyond the call of duty when it comes to your Yiddishkeit, you don't just say, what am I obligated to do? What am I responsible to do? You say, what else can I do? Like the difference between somebody who pays his taxes out of duty or somebody who supports his government out of patriotism. Maybe during World War II, people were doing things patriotically. They were giving more money to the war effort. They were doing something. They felt a personal responsibility. They wanted to contribute. Not in today's day and age. You go to your account, they say, how could I avoid paying anything possible? I have zero interest in paying into the government. I'm not doing it because I want to. I'm doing the letter of the law and not one penny more. Is that how your Yiddishkeit is? Or are you saying, I'm a patriotic Jew, I want to give more, I want to do more than what's technically responsible? So if I go lefnim mishur hadin, if I go beyond the call of duty, then I could expect the same from Hashem. Mida keneged mida. It's a measure for a measure. You go beyond the call of duty, expect Hashem to go beyond the call of duty. And then yiftarei se midinin shel bezdin shel mayla. Hashem would say, okay, you went, really this is supposed to get transferred over to the courts now, but you went beyond the call of duty, I'll go beyond the call of duty too. It's like fashion. I'll respond. However, if you don't do that, then you get yourself into big trouble. And then it goes into the courts. It goes to the courts, then there's no annulment. And so, my dear friends, this is a plug for the concept of Chassidus. Chassidus means lefnim mishur hadin, to go beyond the call of duty. Our Yiddishkeit should not just be by the letter of the law, not just doing exactly what's necessary, but we should try at all times to go beyond the call of duty. And if we will go beyond the call of duty, then we can expect the same from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. He will go beyond the call of duty for us. We'll keep the loans private, and in this way, Ezrat Hashem, our loans will be annulled. The Eibishter should help us to not only our personal loans, but Am Yisrael's loans and indebtedness should be forgiven, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu should finally just bring us home with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen.